progression that the Lord was, that Paul saw in the, by the Holy Spirit, that they would come under oppression, as it were. They would come under a leading from the enemy to walk away from what they had come to know in the Lord. And so they did, as it's recorded in Revelation, that the Lord Jesus was on the outside trying to get back in. And that in the book of Colossians is the answer to what Jesus found, that he pointed out to them that they were pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And he is the answer to that. Well, you're welcome to listen to that, the word that was shared, if you're interested again. But I also saw that great revelation to me that Ephesus has a letter, and it also has a mention and a letter, a portion of the book of Revelation that are addressed to the church at Ephesus. And we don't know exactly when the two books were written, but we have a pretty good idea that they took place in sequence, that the book of Ephesians, or the epistle to the Ephesians, was written, and the book of Revelation was written sometime later. And it shows in what is said to the two, to the church, those two times. I want to read, let's look at Revelation chapter 2, and beginning in the first verse. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. I want to pause there for a moment and take you back up a verse to the end of chapter 1, in which the Lord is described as speaking to John and saying, as for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So hold on to that as we read chapter 2. So to the one who holds the seven stars, the one who walks among the seven lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet you do this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I want to remind you of something I pointed out in the book, speaking about the Laodiceans, is that these are real people. The Lord has given us his word, and he has revealed things to us about himself, but he's also, people really received these letters. Paul wrote to individuals that he knew, or that he had spoken to, or that he knew of. And John was writing to a church, to a gathering, and that group of people needed to hear what he had to say. not just, it's not solely, Ephesians is not solely a book about a revelation of the Lord Jesus to in the ways that he speaks of, that many times that we look at. We look at Ephesians, or I'll speak for all of us. That's dangerous, isn't it? I'll speak for me anyway, that Ephesians is a book in which there is tremendous revelation of the Lord Jesus, the revelation of the church. And it's important for us to hear that and to know that and to read that and to be taught of that. But there's an additional reason that it was written. It was written to this group, this gathering. Was it 50 people? Was it 100 people? I don't know. I don't know that we have ever seen it written down or anybody's taken a good guess at it. But this group of people that gathered together that had real needs. I mean, they had people that got sick with various things, and they had travelers, and they looked at there were people trying to confuse them cause them to wonder about what was going on and what is the Lord doing. And so I come back to the point that the chapter 2, the first few verses of chapter 2 are addressed to that church. And there is here, as you look at it, if you will look at it, the Lord is describing, telling them that he is the one. He is the one walking among the churches, among the lampstands. And he is the one that is holding the angels, the messengers, to the churches. He holds them in his hand. And he goes on, he says, I know your deeds and I know your toil. If you read all that, that's a good thing. Seems like, doesn't it? It's not exactly, want to say is that in verse 4, he says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Up to that point, it seems like they're doing all right. You know, they are not enduring evil men. They're putting them to the test. If they were found to be false, those who were false, and that they have persevered. But then he says, but you have this, you've left your first love. I have this against you. And of course, that would be something against them. First love, I believe what the words, as they are interpreted in the scripture in the Greek, the word first really means primary. It doesn't mean necessarily in time, although it does have a place in time. They did have a time when they were saved, and there was a first love at that point that changed and matured. But it's also I believe in this book, in Revelation, he's talking about the primary love. He's talking about the importance of his love for them and their love, that they would love him, that they would come to love him because of what he has done for them. And it goes on in verse 5, remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place. And that's pretty serious. And they need to repent, it says. It continues on at the end of the verse there. The Ephesians were a group of believers who the Apostle Paul visited early in his missionary ministry, and he explained to them things that were brand new, as it were. It was in the Lord, but it was things they hadn't heard before. And now, here they are. What happened? What does it mean when they've left their first love? What is he saying here in Revelation? Well, what I think he's saying is that the people at Ephesus, the brothers and sisters at Ephesus, had become confused. They'd gotten lost, really. That's probably a better way to say it. And I don't mean lost as in the sense of they were totally lost in the Lord, but they'd gotten lost in what they were doing. They got lost, I think, in doing things on their own that they didn't realize was offensive and leaving their hands off, that they weren't holding on to the Lord Jesus. They were holding on to the stuff that they had learned. And they had practiced, as it says. Cannot endure evil men, put them to the test. They knew how to test. They knew what they were. They knew what good doctrine was. They knew what good theology was. And they were persevered. They struggled on. They soldiered on. But they missed the fact that they had left their first love. That their primary love of the Lord was being swallowed up in the stuff they were trying to do. And this is a real concern, because we can do that. Many in the church today have done that. You know, we have a great set of rules, and this certainly is, you know, we have to evaluate and analyze. Well, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful that we're listening to the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, what did Paul say to the Ephesians? And he spoke at great length, and it prepares them and it helps them, will help them to deal with the rebuke they get in Revelation. Paul is speaking and he is telling us things that the church, that the body of believers needs to hear about Jesus, about the church, about the things that he has done. But what's he saying to the Ephesians? What's he saying to us if we're struggling to understand? So what I want to do is I want to take a little walk through the first chapter here and maybe into the second chapter of Ephesians. Jesus is speaking through the apostle. And what is he telling them? What did they lose? It's brought out in Revelation. They lost first love. What's Paul telling them? What's the Lord Jesus telling them through Paul? He's telling them that I love you. I love you. I love you. I've sent Paul by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. I love you. I'm sending him. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. I love you. I have grace. I want you to be forgiven. I want you to walk in me, in my life. In verse 3, but who the Lord Jesus, who has blessed us, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I love you. I have done all this for you. Hold on to these things. See these things. These are the things that the Lord has given us. In verse 4, and he chose us in him. It's not what we do. It's not us checking off the boxes and doing the right thing. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. I love you. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. I love you. To the praise of his glory and of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. We have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses. I love you. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He lavished. He has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, that which he purposed in him. Verse 11. We have obtained an inheritance. I've given you, I've made these provisions for you, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. To the end that we, verse 12, I want to skip down to 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, have also believed and were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. I love you. I'm giving myself for you. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit that you may hold on. The Holy Spirit in verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He's saying to them, I love you. I have given all these things. I've prepared them for you. It's all that you need. Look to me. This is who I am. This is what I've done for you. I've given this to you that you will continue to hold on to me. You need to hold on to me. You need to see these things. You need to hold on to them. I will help you. So he's doing things. He's not only giving things, but he's doing things. That we may know, in verse 18, we may know the hope of his calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of his power? You know, I don't know if we hold on to that, if we see that. The Lord is the author of our faith, and he wants us to know his power. And his power is able to accomplish all things. His government and authority has no end. And he wants us to see him and to know him and trust him, such that when we see things, situations like Rick is struggling with, as Yvonne was touched with, the struggles of the brothers and sisters and the people of Ukraine, in things in war, things in we need to see him. We will feel these things and we will be touched by them, and we need to hold on to him, not just be critical, as it were, of, well, this brother thinks this way and I think that way. He wants us to trust him and to let him take care of the things that need to be taken care of. He also talks about how we are to be together, and I'm going to where we have come from in chapter 2. And these are all things that you have seen before, but I want you to hold on to see them again and to hold on to them that we might not drift away. I don't feel like we're in danger of drifting away today, but we are. It can happen. It happened to them. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. We know that. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We are tempted. We are drawn by the things of the world. We have been beaten into shape, forged, as it were, in the things of earth, in the things of the flesh. It is natural that we become frightened. It is natural that we have war, that we have hatred and anger. That's natural. What is supernatural is we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come, and we're living in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, verse 8, through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He is the head. We are to follow his lead. We are attached to him as a body. We are attached to him as the church. He is leading. He has provided all of these things. He has shown this to us. And if we are tempted to try to work it out ourselves, we're going to be misled. We're going to fall into error. We're going to lose sight of him and lose sight of our first love. We need, as has been already raised up, to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters. We need them to be in prayer for us, that we would not miss these things, that we would not miss who he is, what he has done, how he has lifted us up, how he has given us faith, how he has richly poured out on us his love and kindness, and that he wants us to love him. And we can love him if we will let him lead us. He will bring us to the place that we need to be. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your love for us. We ask you, Lord, to guide us and be with us. And Lord, that we would not simply nod our head, but Lord, that we would truly embrace you and allow ourselves to be embraced by you, that we can trust you as we walk in this world. We ask you, Lord, to bless your word to our hearts. And we ask you, Father, to give us the power to walk in you. In your precious name, amen.